Take your Bible. Let's go to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, if you would. Acts 21. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. And man, I'm starting to preach early. Usually I don't get the pulpit before 20 after, but song service went short. Brother Marion didn't sing many verses, you know. So, and I guess here we are, you know. There is a slight possibility we'll get out before 12. But it is slight. I just want to warn you, all right? It is slight. All right, Acts 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. In these few chapters here, including chapter 21 and leading up to chapter 21, we find the fact that Paul had decided and was absolutely determined that he was going to Jerusalem. And we truly do not know why he was so intent on going. I've read people made conjecture as to why they thought, but hey, your guess is as good as anybody else's guess. But it's not important the why. It was the fact that he was, and he was determined to be there. But we do know that he was warned on several occasions that he should not go. In this chapter, for instance, look at verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So he was warned, all right? He was warned. And then in our text verse here where we read this morning, the Bible tells us of a man by the name of Agabus, a prophet, who gave an illustrated example and an illustrated story, an object lesson, if you will, to Paul, and took Paul's girdle and he bound his hands together and he said, This is what's going to happen to you if you go on into Jerusalem. And he was warning him, Don't go, don't go. And it's after that warning that we find the words of verse 13, and what a marvelous testimony that the Apostle Paul gives when he says these words, I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to look at those words, I am ready to die. I am ready to die. Paul was definitely a man who was ready to die. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the man who is ready to die. The man who is ready to die. I might ask you a question today. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you this morning to help me and, Lord, to use me as your servant. Lord, help me to say what you would have said today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I said, just a few things about a man who's ready to die. Number one, the man who's ready to die has a reason to live. You said, now, preacher, wait a minute. You just said this guy's ready to die, and then you say he has a reason to live. Yeah, it is. The fact that Paul said he's ready to die was not the testimony of an individual saying, I'm going to commit suicide. Or I'm going to get myself in a position where somebody has to kill me. That's not what was going on, all right? That's not what he was saying. He's not saying, he did not say, I want to die. What he said was, I'm ready to die. But, and it's admission that If necessary, he is willing and he's ready to die. But Paul made no secret of the fact that he had a reason to live. He had a reason to live. Won't you open your Bible two places? Go with me, Will, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, would you? Turn there, Philippians chapter 1. Get Philippians chapter 1 in one hand and then back up to Galatians chapter 2 in the other hand, all right? Meanwhile, keeping your third hand in our text verses, all right? Galatians chapter 2. If you will, Galatians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 1. All right, I want you to see these verses. I said to you that the man who's ready to die has a reason to live. He has a reason to live. Philippians 1, verse 21. Here's what Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ. Now that compare that and link that up with Galatians 2 and verse 20. For the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Hey, when you put those two verses together, I think you get a real clear picture of the life that Paul lived. He said, "I'm living for Christ. I'm living for Christ." Now, you look at me and you say, "Preacher, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a missionary. So you're telling me that I'm to live for Christ?" Yes, I am. Yeah, there's the reason to live. There's the reason to live. Look around the world today, would you? Do you see a lot of encouraging signs? Look at your bank account. You see an encouraging sign? You know, compare that to the bills that you have. Hey, you take a look at your life and take a look at everything that's involved and everything that's going on in our world today. It's a bleak picture. There's some people that wouldn't be ready to die simply because they're afraid of dying. But hey, when we look at life, we think, what a mess. And it is. It is. Boy, things are upside down. Things are backwards. We've got things so messed up that we wonder if anybody can straighten it out, you know? But the Apostle Paul said, "Man, I've got a reason to live. My reason is to live is Christ. Is Christ. That's my reason to live." Hey, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul said this. He said, "I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach." You see, that was his reason for living, was to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. "Hey, preacher, didn't you hear me a while ago? I said I'm not a missionary. I said I'm not a preacher." No, but if you've been born again, you're supposed to preach. Oh, not this way, maybe. Maybe not standing in front of a group of people. But hey, one-on-one, you're to take maybe a New Testament, open it up, and point somebody to heaven. You're to do that. Hey, we're to be involved in that kind of thing. That's our reason to live. He said, "Well, I don't really have a purpose, you know. Life is pretty much over." Well, wait a minute. You got kids? Are they saved? Are they saved? Have they been born again? All your children, they've been born again? All right, how about the grandchildren? They've been born again? How about the son-in-law, the daughter-in-law? He said, "I don't care that much about them." Well, you ought to, all right? You ought to. Hey, what about them? What about them? You said, "Preacher, I don't have any children. We never had any children, and it's just me. Maybe it's just me and my husband or me and my wife. So there's nobody like that." Don't you have any friends? Hey, have you got a neighbor? Got a neighbor? "Well, I don't know them." Well, go meet them. Hey, they need the Lord. They need the Lord. Everybody you see in this world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody. Paul said, "I've got a reason to live. Hey, I'm ready to die. But I've got a reason to live. I got a reason to live. You ought to be ready to die. Why? But that man that's ready to die has a reason to live. But don't you look at the second thing with me. The man that's ready to die has a relationship with the Lord. Has a relationship with the Lord. You see, this is why he's ready to die. Because he has a relationship to the Lord. He's not alone in this world. Not alone in this world. There's a personal relationship between the man who's ready to die and the God of the Bible. Personal relationship. Years ago, I've told you many times, I love old-time quartet gospel singing. As far as I know, the very first quartet I ever heard sing was the Harmoniers. And probably the biggest part of y'all never heard of them. But the Harmoniers Quartet had a tenor singer by the name of Happy Edwards. And he wasn't the best tenor singer in the world. He was a good tenor singer. But I'll never forget, even I think I first heard this song before I was in school. First gospel singing I ever went to. And they sang the song, "He's a Personal Savior." He's a personal Savior. "He's mine, I know, I love him so. He did for me a personal favor. I'll tell it wherever I go." Personal relationship. You see, the man that's ready to die has a relationship with the Lord. That relationship that is very, very personal. The Apostle Paul here is the one who said, "I'm ready to die." He had a personal relationship with the Lord. That personal relationship started that day back there in Acts chapter 9, I believe it is, where he was on the road to Damascus, and that Lord said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That day, the man we know as the Apostle Paul began a personal relationship with the Lord. And you know what? He was never the same again. Never the same again. Hey, let me ask you this morning, have you got that personal relationship? Have you been born again? Have you been born? That's personal. It's personal because every man needs a personal Savior. It's personal because each person must call for himself for that eternal salvation that you and I cannot do without. Don't have a chance at all without being born again. But you have to call. Nobody else can do it for you. I can't do it for you. I've got two kids. I can pray for them. I can plead for them. But I cannot save them. Each one of them had to, on their own, pray and ask the Lord to save their soul. Each one of them had to do that. It's a personal relationship. Do you have that personal relationship with him? Do you know for sure you've been born again? Did it change you? See, I believe when you get saved, you get changed. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you may not have had, boom, the about face that Saul of Tarsus had. But man, it ought to have changed your life. I've never been the same since that Sunday night, First Baptist Church, Tice, Florida. Never been the same. Because God saved me. God saved me. Boy, I'm glad he did. So glad he did. When did that happen to you? Hey, personal relationship. The man that's ready to die has a relationship with the Lord. It's a personal one. Not only is it a personal relationship, I believe it's a close one. It's a close one. Remember I said Paul was ready to die. Ready. It's a close relationship. When that relationship is really close, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Now, I have a relationship with different people on different levels. And you do too. You have a relationship with people on different levels. There's some of them are closer than others. They're a lot closer than others. And that closeness of that relationship, all right, makes such a difference. Such a difference. When you have a real close relationship with somebody, you never hesitate to call on them, right? You need something, you don't hesitate to call. If I need something, I don't hesitate to call. If there's something I need, I don't hesitate to call. If I got a close relationship with someone and I figure that person can help me to do what I need to get done, I've got a close, I don't mind calling them. I don't call them up and say, boy, I hate to burden you. I don't do that. I had a close relationship with my dad. My dad never called and said, hey, could you come over sometime next week and maybe do this? When Dad called, he wanted you right then. Right then. And sometimes I couldn't do it right then. But most of the time I tried to do it right then. Right then. Why? Because there was a close relationship. Close relationship. Got a call one night. Man, my phone rang. I answered it. It's my mother-in-law. I thought, why are you calling me? It was my mother-in-law. And she said, I need you to come down to my house. My smoke detector's going off. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Ms. Worley, just go outside, sleep in the garage, okay? Don't worry about it. I'll be there tomorrow. Well, I couldn't do that, all right? Said, you have a real close relationship with her. Nobody got a real close relationship with her daughter, all right? So I went and did it. Hey, middle of the night. No, trust me, I'm kidding. I didn't mind doing that. I didn't mind doing that. I did tell my brothers-in-law, though, doggone your sorry hides, you two guys moved off and left me here to do it all right? So I had to pick at them. But if you got that close relationship, a call comes. A call comes, and you answer it. I think of the Apostle Paul. One night he dreamed. He dreamed there's this fellow from Macedonia. And that fellow called and said, come over and help us. The Apostle Paul immediately took that as the call of God upon him to go there and give the gospel. And he immediately, the Bible said, essayed to get there. Immediately. Why? Close. Close relationship. So close that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said this. He said, we ought to bring everything to him in prayer. He said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. You can do that when you have a close relationship. Close relationship. Hey, you're ready to die, you got a close relationship with the Lord. It's a close relationship because we can literally come boldly unto his presence and know we can have an audience with the God of creation. Why? Because we got a close relationship with him. Close relationship. Hey, the man that's ready to die, the man that's ready to die has a reason to live. The man that's ready to die has a close relationship with the Lord. The man that's ready to die has the resolve to last. You said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean the man that's ready to die is the man that's going to go the distance for God. He's going to go all out. Little troubles, little problems, little bumps along the road of life are not going to be enough to stop you. They're not going to cause you to say, well, I'm done. I quit. I'm out of here. Hey, when Paul joined the Lord's army, he joined for life. He signed up for life. He saw it through. He said, well, I had it easy. You've got to be kidding. You don't know the life of Paul. And you get over there where he begins to give a little bit of that life testimony. He said, I was beaten 3 times, given 39 stripes. 39 stripes. 3 times that happened to me. He said, man, I've been shipwrecked twice. Then he said, in perils, and he went on to name all the perils he had been in. everything that he was. He said, man, after shipwreck, I was a night and a day in the deep, and I'm not sure how good a life preserver they had in those days. And he went through it. We get a hangnail and want to bail on God. We have a little problem come up, and we want to quit on God. Hey, Paul said, not me, not me. He said, I'm in it for life. And let me read what he said to you in 2 Timothy. If you want to turn there, you can. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, boy, he laid down some words. You talk about a testimony. He said this. He said, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, hey, I'm ready. I've been through it. But that's all right. I'm going to last. I intended to last. I intended to make it. Look, the man that's ready to die, he's made a resolve that he's going to last. I'm going to just make it. I'm going to make it all the way through. There have been a multitude of Christians who've got off to a marvelous start. Man, I mean, the gun went off, if you will, in the race of life, and they took off. And they were picking it up and laying it down. But something happened. Something happened. They stumbled maybe along the way. They got skin up a little bit. And they, instead of getting up and getting back in the race, it became, well, what's the use? What's the use? Hey, what a shame. Hey, there's many that they got off. They moved forward for a time. Unfortunately, the sun grew hot. The work grew tough. The race became hard. The opposition grew strong. They wilted. They fell out of the race. They became shipwrecked. The cares of life overwhelmed them along the way. They just didn't last. You know people like that? They bailed out. Maybe that happened to some of you along the way. Maybe you were out of the race for a while. Well, bless God, I'm glad you got back in. Hey, if you're still not back in, get in. Get back in. Well, I can't do what I used to could do, but you can do what you can do now, can't you? I look at most everybody I know and they can't do what they used to could do. They can't do it. I mean, you say, well, I've lost that ability. That's all right. You got some ability. Man, you ought to be in it. Just get in that race, all right? The man who's ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stick with him no matter what happens. I'm going to stick this thing out. You say, well, I'm in a race. Okay, me too, but I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to finish this race. Now, I wasn't in it for the sprint. I was never built for speed. I'm like the guy said, I wasn't built for speed. I was built for comfort. But I can get in the race and I can keep going. I can keep going. Just go on. Hey, jog when you can jog. Walk if you got to walk. Limp if you have to limp. But do what you got to do. Stick with it. Paul said, I'm ready to die. That's a testimony of a man that said, I made a resolve a long time ago to get in the race, and I've stuck with it, and I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to finish. I want to go out, you know. Through thick and thin, good times and bad, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to finish it. I don't know about you. Are you ready to die? Not are you in a hurry to die. I'm ready to die. I've made preparation for it. I'm ready because I have a relationship with my Lord. That relationship was established one day when I called on Him and ask Him to save my soul, and He did what He said He would do. He gave me a home in heaven, but not only that, He gave me a reason to live. Gave me a reason to live. I'll be honest with you, I don't see a reason to live making money. You got to be kidding. I want to make a ton of money. Okay, go ahead. We don't understand. I want to buy a multi-million dollar mansion. Go ahead. That's the reason to live? That's the reason to live? That's not much of a reason to live. But man, I got a reason to live when the Lord, you know, began to deal with me. You know, I could serve Him. I found out I could serve Him. I found out as a teenager I could serve the Lord. I started working on a bus route as a teenager. Some of the most fun times of my life were spent working on the bus route. I could tell you stories. I could tell you the time over in Diamond Hill, that's where my bus route was, went into a big apartment complex they had there. It was a summer day. It was hot. Kid had a water hose. When I saw him, I knew he's going to squirt me with that water hose. Say, did he? He sure did. He sure did. Did you get mad? I beat him with that hose. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Man, I had good times. Good times. Good times on the bus. Good times. That little girl rode my bus. She was mean as a dickens. I mean, I'm not kidding you. She was mean as a dickens. She'd get on the bus. She'd have a fight going with a kid on the bus. She never came to church. She didn't get in a fight with some other kid on the bus. It happened every Sunday. Until Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, I got out of the bus, went and knocked on her door. Oh, they opened the door. Here she came. A new dress. A white hat. White gloves. She came to the bus that day. Sat down in that seat. I nearly passed out. I waited to see how long before the fight started. It didn't. And she came to church, went into Sunday school, church, took her home from church. Nothing. Next Sunday, back to duking it out, all right? Man, it was just amazing. Those were great times. And I tell you, the greatest times is when you'd be in church and you'd see somebody you brought on the bus and they'd walk that aisle and get saved. Get to see them baptized. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hey, it continued that day. I went down to church. Oh, it's probably been 10, 15 years ago now. Went down to church south of Fort Worth. I went in there and was there for a service. And after the service over, this lady came up to me. She said, "Are you the Brother Mosley that used to run the bus route in those apartments over in Diamond Hill?" I said, "That's me." She said, "I rode your bus. I rode your bus to church." She's married, got kids, and in church. Hey, can I just say, woo! That's a good thing, man. Good thing. Got a reason to live. Got a reason to live. You got a reason to live. Hey, there's something you can do for the Lord. He saved you. You got a reason to live. But preacher, I'm old. Okay, old people have a reason to live. When God's ready, He'll call you, okay? When He'll call you, when He's ready, He'll call you. Brother Minyard, I'm going to pick on you this morning, but you shouldn't have spoken up the way you did. And they were, by the way, they were picking on Brother Minyard this morning before church. They're picking on him, and he said something about, "Yeah, I don't know why I'm still alive." He's in his 80s now, and they're picking on him, and they said, "So I could give you a hard time." I won't mention Brother Pike's name as the person that said that, but hey, you say, "Why I'm still here?" Hey, Brother Minyard, you're here so you can stand there and open that door and greet people. That's why you're still here. That's why you're still here. God's got a purpose for you. Hey, you got a reason to live, all right? You got a reason to live. Hey, my question is, do you have the resolve to last? Do you have the resolve? Are you going to stick it out? You're going to stick it out, boy, to the end. I mean, to the very end, will you just stick it out? You don't have to cash in your chips. You don't have to give up. You don't have to surrender. You don't have to do that. You can stick it out. Hey, Here's a man who's ready to die. That's my question. Are you ready? Have you been born again? You're here without Christ. Need to be saved. The Lord just said, amen. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Hey, he'll save you this morning if you'll come. He'll save you if you'll come. Christian, if you're here, you got a reason to live. Because you've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives you a reason to live. There's something for you to do. You just need to make that resolve that no matter what, I will stick it out until the end. As old preacher said one time, man, his name deserted me, but he said, I'm going to punch him as long as I can lift a fist and punch the devil, I'll punch him. He said, I'll kick him as long as I can lift a foot and kick him. He said, I'll bite him as long as I have teeth. I will bite him. He said, when I'm old and I can no longer throw a punch and I cannot raise a leg to kick him and I have no teeth, I'll gum him till I die. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. That was said by Billy Bray. Hey, what about you? You got to be born again. Starts with a new birth. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Listen, our Lord and our Savior went to the cross to pay your sin debt so that you could face death unafraid. He will save your soul if you'd come to Him. He will save you if you'd come. Christian, you're here. You got a reason to live. Don't quit on God. Don't do it. Don't do it. You need to come spend some time at the altar. If you need to come back to the Lord, good time to do it.